As it's the first offering of the Holy Day season this year, I thought it would be appropriate to go over just why we do give an offering. And it's interesting what's been said this morning and yesterday about those that have double talk and those that pervert the truth. I went on a website, and you probably know which one that might be, to look at just why we do give an offering. And under the title that they had, Offerings Express Love for God, giving to Him, God, is one of the ways His people worship Him and express their thanksgiving for His boundless love and grace. And giving is not a response to an obligation of the law. There you go, we're off the hook. By God's grace, our giving is an expression of our love for God, our thankfulness for His grace and our love through Jesus Christ. Today we gather to worship Him as His children. We gather to praise the name of Jesus with no obligation to the law of Moses. And we give our offerings not out of obligation to the law, but from worshipful hearts of adoration for our Lord and Saviour. And because we are committed to the work of His gospel that we are called and commanded to do. A few faces round here that are a bit stony, and justifiably so. But according to this standpoint, we're not actually required to give an offering. But we can do if we so choose. This afternoon I just want to look briefly at whether or not the commandment to give the offering is still valid for us today. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 16. The law of Moses, which apparently is done away with, according to that earlier statement. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. So that is a command. They shall appear before God in the place that He chooses. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. That is also a command. You shall not come before God empty-handed. And every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which He has given to you. So within those two verses, there are three distinct commands. We shall appear before God, we shall not appear empty-handed, and we shall give as we are able. So the instruction there is quite clear. But does it still apply today? This is the viewpoint of the statement that I read out earlier. Well, let's move on a little bit further through time to King David in Psalm 119. King David was a man after God's own heart. And in the kingdom, he will have a very high position indeed. Let's just see his viewpoint on the commandments. Because he was obviously only referring to the ones that he was aware of, which were preceding him in time. Psalm 119, and starting in verse 115. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commands of my God. Quite blunt, quite straight to the point. Dropping down to 117. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked from the earth like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. Dropping down to 124. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. And on aside from this, when the new truth was brought out, there was two groups of people, both praying to understand the truth. One to understand God's truth, and one to understand the new truth. And it's interesting just to see where they are now. Those that asked to be shown the new truth, they accepted it. Those that pray to understand God's truth, God, if they subjected themselves totally to Him, would give them understanding, and they will hold fast. Carrying on, it is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore I love your commandments. more than gold, yes, more than fine gold. Therefore all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way." It's quite clear that King David, a man after God's own heart, had the highest regard for the commands and the statutes and the testaments that God had instructed. And he is quite clear about those who do not obey them, who do not have regard for them, evildoers. But that's Old Testament, King David's Old Testament. What about New Testament? Because our giving is not a response to an obligation of the law. By God's grace, our giving is an expression of love for God, our thankfulness for his grace and love through Jesus Christ, was the quote. John 15, we were there the other night. John 15. I haven't used bookmarks today, so I'm taking my time turning them. John 15, starting in verse 7. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Verse 8. "But this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." They are joined. There is the one love, the Father and the Christ, and the commandments. We are to keep the commandments of Christ, and we, like Christ, are to keep the commandments of his Father. In Amos 3:3, we won't turn there, but it says, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" And just to underline it, John 17, verse 21, "That they may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." How can we all be as one if we don't have to keep the commandments of the Father? We have to keep the commandments that Christ gave us and the commandments of the Father, which means the commandment to give an offering today has to be in force still. In conclusion, the opening statement from a certain website clearly removes man from the obligation to obey God. Giving an offering is on their terms and conditions, not God's terms and conditions. We saw that King David clearly identifies that God's commandments are pure. They are to be valued more than fine gold, and evildoers are those that reject them. We saw that Christ keeps the Father's commands, which would include giving of offering, and therefore abides in his love. And we also are to keep those if we are all to abide together in unity. So on that basis, we will be taking up an offering because it is commanded. We have gathered together where God has placed his name. We have not come before God empty-handed, and we are to give as we are able. We will be giving an offering because it is commanded. The offering music is Psalm 15, "O Eternal, who shall dwell in the in your temple, in your grace," and it will be given to us by Mrs. Paula Henderson and accompanied by our pianist.